Okay, guys, good to see all of you. If you're eating, keep on eating. But I want you to listen to me, okay? Got your attention? Yeah, let's get our attention together here for just a few minutes and have a little time of devotion. I think it's good. Let me ask you a few Christmas questions to begin the devotion here. In the Old Testament, God used a prophet to prophesy what town Jesus would be born in. Do you remember what town he prophesied Jesus would be born in?
David.
All right, the city of David, which is what? Bethlehem, right? Yeah, very good. He prophesied Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. This is a harder question. Does anybody remember that prophet's name, which prophet it was? What? Anybody remember? He's not a real prominent one. You know, you might think, well, maybe Isaiah, because he prophesied a lot about Jesus. But it wasn't Isaiah. It was Micah. Micah prophesied that. God also used a prophet to prophesy what kind of woman would give birth to Jesus. Do you remember what kind of woman would give birth to Jesus? You remember what he said she would be? A virgin. Yeah, a virgin would give birth to Jesus. By the way, where did Jesus finally get born? What town? Duh. Where? Bethlehem. Yeah, the prophets always get it right. And what kind of young woman was Mary, the mother of Jesus? A virgin. Yeah. The prophets always get it right because God gives them the word and they prophesy and that's what happened. Let me ask you this. God sent someone to give an announcement that Jesus had been born. Do you remember who God used to make that announcement? An angel, yes, very good. An angel gave the announcement. And do you remember who the angel gave the announcement to? The shepherds, very good, the shepherds. The angel announced it to the shepherds. And do you remember how the shepherds reacted when the angel first appeared? Did they say, oh, look, there's a cute little angel? No, they were scared, they were terrified. You know, the angels are like mighty angelic spiritual warrior beings, and if you saw one in the way they really look, unless they hid their glory, it would probably terrify us too. But the angel said, well, you don't have to be afraid, you're not going to die, it's going to be all right. And then he said, I've got an announcement for you, I've got some good news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. Do you remember? Can you finish it? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? You remember? Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Very good. Very good. Now, I want to think about that just for a minute. The angel said the Savior would be Christ the Lord. What does Lord mean? Do you remember what Lord means? What's a Lord? We don't use that word much anymore except when we're talking about God, do we? But what? A boss. Yes, a Lord is a boss. A Lord is a master. A Lord is someone who is in charge, right? In charge. When you go to work someday, you'll work for somebody that's in charge. You probably won't call him Lord. You'll probably call him the boss. But in Bible days, they would have called him the Lord. He was the one in charge. And Jesus is the ultimate Lord. The angel also said he would be Christ the Lord. Do you know what Christ means? I've talked about this in my classes some. Do you know what the word Christ means? Anybody know? Anybody remember? The word Christ is the same as an Old Testament word that starts with an M. Does anybody remember what that word is? Yes, Messiah. Yes, thank you, Braden. Messiah. Somebody else said it too over here. Messiah and Christ mean the same thing. Messiah is Hebrew. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Christ is Greek. New Testament was written in Greek. Messiah in Greek. I mean, Messiah in Greek. Messiah and Christ mean the same thing. And you know what they mean? It means the anointed one. Do you know what anointing was in the Old Testament? Do you know what they did when they anointed somebody? What did they do? They poured oil on their head. Yeah, there were three types of people that got anointed. But God would have these people anoint somebody who was going to have a special job, like a king. A king was going to be used by God to do a special job. He wanted him to be the king, so he sent somebody to pour oil on his head to anoint him as the king. Sounds kind of messy, doesn't it? It was kind of messy. It symbolized the coming of the power of God upon them, the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes a prophet would be anointed with oil. Sometimes a priest would be anointed with oil. Do you realize all those Old Testament anointings pointed to the main anointed one who was going to come, the Christ. That's what it means, the anointed one. He's going to be the anointed, the king above all kings, and the prophet above all prophets, and the priest above all high priests. He is the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. He's the anointed one. Yeah. And then what was the first thing the angel said? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? A Savior. What's a Savior do? Saves people, right? I bet you've seen some Superman movies, maybe, or Superman television programs, or maybe read some Superman comics. What does Superman do if he's flying through the air faster than a speeding bullet and somebody falls off a building? He swoops over there and saves them. Saves them from what?
Death.
They're going to be like gravy on the street down there, right? He saves them from death. He saves them from death. A Savior has to save somebody from some danger, right? That's what it means, right? You can't be a Savior unless you're saving somebody from some danger. So Jesus is saving us from some danger, right? What's the danger? What are we in danger of that Jesus comes to save us from? Sin, yes. And what does sin lead to? If it's not fixed, what's it lead to? Death. Death. He saved us from death. Now, does he really save us from death? Have you heard the latest statistic on death? One out of every one person dies. Yeah. So we all die. So does he really save us from death? What does that mean? Well, we're not just bodies, right? We're souls. We have a body. We are a soul. And he saves our souls from death. Do you remember one time Jesus said, don't be afraid of somebody who can destroy the body, but after that they have no more they can do. They can't touch the soul. He said, don't be afraid of them. He said, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. He said, that's what you need to be afraid of. And Jesus said, I've come to save you from that. You don't have to be destroyed. You don't have to die. That's the main reason Jesus came, guys. It was to save us from destruction, to save us from death. But he's talking about eternal death, eternal destruction. He saves us from that. And that's really, really important. That's the main reason he came. Listen, I've talked to a lot of people who I think get a little bit confused about two things. Number one, let me say this first. The angel did not say, unto you is born this day in the city of David three Jesuses. A Savior, one Jesus is a Savior, one Jesus is a Christ, and one Jesus is a Lord. He didn't say that, did he? We're talking about one person, Jesus. He's the Savior, he's the Christ, he's the Lord, right? I've known people, when I was younger especially, who would say, you know what? I'd kind of like to ask Jesus into my heart to be my Savior, but I'm going to stop right there. I don't want him as my Lord. I don't want him as my boss. I just want him as my Savior. You know what? You can't do that. You can't split Jesus up like that. He's the Savior and the Lord. So when we trust Jesus, he comes in to be our boss, right? Yeah, he comes in to take charge of our lives. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a what? Do you remember? If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. He makes you into a new person. We're not the same person we once were. So he changes the way we live. He changes the way we think. He changes what our motives are, what our goals are, what we're trying to do with our lives. It's all about Jesus now. Yeah. Now, I've known people who want to say, well, I kind of like the fire insurance idea. I'd like for him to be my Savior and save me from hell, but I don't want to live for him. I don't want him to be my Lord. No, you can't do that. He's the same person, you know. He's Jesus. He's Savior and Lord. So we can't just kind of split him up like that. And he makes that very clear. In fact, there's a verse over in Romans that says, if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, he's the boss, and believe in our hearts God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. He'll be our Savior when we confess him as Lord. That's what he's saying there. It's what our life's all about. And we got to keep that straight. And I hope you do. But there's something else here. Jesus came to save us from death. When we celebrate Christmas, one of the most important things we can remember is this. Jesus didn't come just to make life comfortable for us. Many times our life's not comfortable. And I've known people who get upset with Jesus, upset with God. They'll even say, I'm not going to believe in God anymore because they wanted him to do something and he didn't do it. Maybe they wanted him to keep some family member from dying. And they prayed and they prayed and they really begged God, please don't let my, fill in the blank, my dad, my son, my daughter, my mom, my wife, my husband, my grandfather, please don't let them die. And they died. Or maybe kids have prayed, Lord, please don't let my parents get a divorce. And they got a divorce. or please God, don't let me have to be sick like this. And they stayed sick a long time. And they said, there must not be a God. He's not giving me what I want. Jesus didn't come to make us comfortable. He came to give us life, to conquer death forever. Some people might say, you know what? I could handle a God who would let me suffer a little bit, maybe, because I know how suffering can make us stronger and suffering can build my character. So I could handle a little bit of suffering, but it's too much. Jesus is letting us suffer too much. And I mean, for people to die, I mean, that seems awful. Surely he wouldn't be that kind of God. If he were that kind of God, he wouldn't let that happen. He would just kind of minimize the suffering and it wouldn't lead to death. But you know what? God says that's exactly what I've done. It's just hard for us to see it. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? You remember his missionary journeys? When he got saved, he was a young man, probably in his 30s, and for about 3 decades, he lived for Jesus. You know what happened to Paul? 5 different times, he was beaten with a whip, 39 lashes. Can you imagine that? I mean, I don't think I could live through that. But he endured that 5 times. 3 times he was beaten with rods. We're not talking about like a little spanking. We're talking about a horrible beating. He was suffered a shipwreck and he was in the sea, in the open sea for a night and a day. Many times he was very, very cold and he couldn't get warm. He was out in the elements. He couldn't get warm. Other times he couldn't find anything to eat. He didn't have food to eat. He went hungry. Other times they put him in a horrible, awful prison that's hard for us to imagine. He was in several prisons. Dark, smelly, disgusting. I mean, men had been down there. They didn't have anywhere to use the bathroom except there on the floor. And he's in the middle of all that. Disgusting, awful, dark, smelly, just awful. He was there in those kind of prisons. Eventually, he got his head cut off. Let me tell you what he said. Think about all he went through. And he said this. Let me find this verse here. He said, for our light affliction. What? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, it lasted 30 years for him. He said, that's just a moment. It's light affliction. Well, wait a minute, Paul. You went through all this. Yeah, it's light affliction. He said, it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's to the Corinthians. To the Romans, he said it this way. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. He's a southerner, by the way. You heard that, didn't you? I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. Now, guys, we got to keep that straight in our mind. You will go through times of suffering. We all do. Times of difficulty. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. We don't need to forget that. And when we're grieving, and you will grieve, and when we're crying, and you will cry, I will too, and we'll say, Lord, please take this away. Please fix this problem. Please heal this. And God's pleased with those prayers. But many times he said, I'm going to fix it in my time, in my way. Meanwhile, I have something very important for you to learn. I'm building your character. I'm making you stronger. You've got life lessons to learn here. I'm getting you ready for eternity. We got to take him seriously, guys. He's getting us ready for eternity. And so when you go through a time of suffering, one of the most important prayers you can pray, please don't forget this. If you forget everything else I say, when you're going through a time of difficulty and suffering and hurting, say, Lord, please help me to learn everything you want me to learn from this time. Help me to learn everything you want me to learn. Build my character. Don't make the foolish decision and say, well, you must not be real or you'd fix this. Mm-mm. He's in charge. He knows what he's doing and he's preparing us for eternity. And why did he come? To make us comfortable? No. To conquer death. And that's exactly what he did. And one of these days from eternity, we'll look back and say, wow, that light affliction was but for a moment. It's going to be pretty amazing. So when you celebrate Jesus coming, enjoy the Christmas, enjoy the family, enjoy the gifts, enjoy the fun, enjoy the break from school. Just remember what it's all about. Jesus came as Savior and Lord and Christ to conquer death and to give us eternal life. And it's awesome. Okay, let's thank Him for that. Father, thank You so much for what You've done through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You that You have come to save us from death and hell and destruction, from Satan, from our sins, from the grave. Lord, thank You that You conquered these things when You conquered death and rose again. And thank You that You've come to give us life if all we'll do is trust You, simply trust You, like a little child trusting a parent. Lord, help us to trust You completely to know that you're in charge of our lives, that you're our Savior and our Lord, and that our lives are all about you. And Lord, we've got a lot of growing to do. We all admit it. But help us to grow well. And Father, when we go through the difficult times, the times of suffering, the times of grief, the times of pain and agony, help us to learn everything you want us to learn so that we can get ready for eternity and bring you the most glory. Thank you so much for Christmas time. Thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son for us. We praise you. We love you. We thank you for giving us all this truth in your word. Help us to, as Mary did, ponder these things in our hearts and not forget them to bring you the most glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys and have a Merry Christmas.